नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 31। वरं वृणमहे तथापि नाथ त्वत्परतः परात् नहि अन्तस्त्वद्विभूतिनां स्वनन्त इति गीयसे। वरं वृणमहे तथापि नाथ त्वत्परतः परात् नहि अन्तस्त्वद्विभूतिनां सो अनंत इति गीयसे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपर्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। डियर लॉर्ड, वी शैल देयरफॉर प्रे फॉर योर बेनेडिक्शन बिकॉज यू आर द सुप्रीम बियॉन्ड ऑल ट्रांसेंडेंस एंड बिकॉज देर इज नो एंड टू योर ऑपुलेंसेस। Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Purport. There was no need for the Prachetas to ask any benediction from the Supreme Lord, because the devotees are simply satisfied by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj practiced severe austerities and penances to see the Supreme Lord, and his intention was to receive benediction from the Lord. He wanted to acquire the throne of his father or attain an even better position. But when he was actually in the presence of the Supreme Lord, he forgot everything. He said, "My dear Lord, I do not wish to ask any benediction." This is the actual position of the devotee. The devotee simply wants to be in the presence of the Supreme Lord, either in this world or in the next, and engage in his service. That is the ultimate goal and benediction for the devotees. The Lord asked the Prachetas to pray for some benediction, and they said, "What kind of benediction should we pray for? The Lord is unlimited, and there are unlimited benedictions." The purport is that if one must ask for benediction, he must ask for unlimited benediction. The words Tvat Paratah are very significant in this verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Paratah Parat. The word Para means transcendental, beyond this material world. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is beyond this material world, and this is called Parampadam. Arhuya Krichirena Parampadam, Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord is called Parampadam. But there is a higher transcendental position, which is the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate, Bhagavatam 1.2.11. The absolute truth is first realized as impersonal Brahman, then as Paramatma, and finally as Bhagavan. Thus the personality of Godhead Bhagavan is Paratah Parat, beyond Brahman and beyond Paramatma realization. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Paratah Parat means better than the best. The best is the spiritual world, and it is known as Brahman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is known as Parabrahman. Therefore, Paratah Parat means better than Brahman realization. As will be explained in the next verse, the Prachetas planned to ask the Lord for something that has no limit. The Lord's pastimes, qualities, forms and names are all unlimited. There is no limit to His name, forms, pastimes, creation and paraphernalia. The living entity cannot conceive of the unlimitedness of the unlimited. However, if living entities are engaged in hearing about the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord, they are factually connected directly to the unlimited. Such understanding of the unlimited becomes unlimited by hearing and chanting. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction, because you are the supreme beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Srila Prabhupada is that most unique of all acharyas who has that tremendous capacity to enthuse the reader in the subject matter which he is writing about. This Srimad Bhagavatam is a devotional literature meant only for the devotees of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, we are trying to perform Krishna conscious activities in the material world. Matter is by nature stagnant. Matter is static. Matter is finite. Matter is corroding and degrading, corrupting. Therefore, being in contact with matter, our Krishna consciousness also can get corrupted by material desires, can become stagnant because of a mechanical approach. So, the spiritual master is empowered by the Lord in such a unique way that he has the capacity to enthuse, unlimited enthusiasm in the devotees, so that the Krishna consciousness remains vibrant, active and dynamic. So, this beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada is unlimitedly enthusing for the devotees. Why? Because Prabhupada has, in the most unique way, elaborated on this beautiful verse. By bringing to our finite mind and intelligence the actual nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His one aspect. Krishna has got unlimited aspects to Him. He is the unlimitedly variegated personality. They say like a diamond. A very nicely polished diamond has so many surfaces. And each surface is shining in a unique way. So also Krishna, the pure devotee, knows how to illuminate different aspects of Krishna's personality beautifully. So Prabhupada is only touching upon one aspect of the Lord here, which is His quality of being unlimited. So, taking advantage of these beautiful prayers is very beneficial for all of us. Srila Prabhupada has always stressed a lot about learning of the Lord, learning about the Lord from the previous devotees who are offering prayers. Therefore, we find Prabhupada stresses on, he wrote books, Queen Prayers of Kunti and Prayers of Prahlad. So here are the prayers of the Prachetas, who have now become Paramahamsa, pure devotees of the Lord, by the mercy of Lord Shiva. and they are revealing their understanding of the Lord. So what are they saying here? They are saying that GSA, you are celebrated as a person who can give unlimited benedictions. Everything about the Lord actually is unlimited. That is His very basic, intrinsic, constitutional nature. The absolute truth by definition has to be unlimited. If it is limited and finite, it is not absolute. So, various aspects. On one hand, He is the unlimited, supreme, absolute with all opulences, and He expands as a Jivatma on the other hand. Now, Jivatma is another aspect of the Lord's being unlimited, because He is unlimitedly small. He is unlimitedly tiny. He is as tiny as you can think of. Because the human mind cannot conceive, we say, 1/10 tip of the hair. And that may give us a feeling of being some sort of finitude being there. He is finite, but actually He is infinitely small. The soul is so small that actually, therefore, the Krishna Himself in the Gita is inconceivable. If you think that 1/10 tip of the hair makes it conceivable, we are wrong. That size is just to give us some sense of man related, you know, dealing with time, space and figures, something is said. But a soul is unlimitedly small. Prabhupada used to always say, one of our Prabhupada disciples had come here, you know, sometime back. He used to always say that Prabhupada in Hindi would say this one line constantly. Bhagwan Mahan hai, hum tuchh hai. This is what you always used to say in Hindi. In every Hindi lecture, this is always there. So we are tuchh, we are small, very small. Small means, what is the nature of our smallness? That we become ultimately insignificant. Prabhupada said, you are neither great, you are not the most fallen, you are not the most great, you are not nothing, you are simply insignificant. So the soul is so tiny than in that sense 1/10 tip of the hair, that its existence becomes insignificant, finished. It is practically insignificant, has got no significance. So that is the unlimited nature of the Lord on the other side. He can make His expansions unlimitedly unsignificant, real tiny. And He Himself, in His original nature, can be unlimitedly powerful. Because if the absolute truth cannot become insignificantly small, that means He is limited. He is limited with the ability of just being unlimited. And He cannot become tiny. So then the Lord encompasses all dualities. All dualities, as I say, get reconciled in Him. Therefore, He can be small also. But even in that finitude of the Lord, whatever like finite, for example, the human body. Human body is very finite. You can have finite figures which describe the body. What is your weight? My weight is 54 kilos. What is your height? 5.4. What is your age? Finite figure. Okay, my age is 25. So in the Lord's creation, He has made this body which is finite. Correct? So they are all figures. Everything in the body is measurable. That's what science is all about, is it not? Science means trying to measure everything. Trying to measure weight, mass, body mass index, and so many things. Keep measuring. Blood pressure, keep measuring. What is your cholesterol? Keep measuring. Keep measuring. Make everything finite. So everything can be measured, tabulated, you know, reproduced, put it in the laboratory. Everything is finite like that. But it is so amazing that even in a finite body, this infinite complexity. Infinite complexity. In this body there are how many cells, for example? Finite body, but cells how much? Trillions of cells. The figure is given. I forget the figure now. Some 300 trillion cells, something like that. So, infinite number of cells, you take one cell, finite again. We try to, the scientists have to reduce everything by the reductionist approach, to reduce everything to finitude, make it into break, and bring it to a level where they can understand, grasp, put it all in the table on the microscope and understand everything properly. But even they're trying to really reduce it to a level of experimental cognizance. But even at one cell, which is finite, the red cell is 6.2 micron in diameter. Another cell, maybe a large cell, is about 8 micron. It's finite. But in that one cell, it can perform unlimited function. Unlimited function. Even the scientist, any scientist, if he is, has that one rare quality, which scientists don't have, scientists are bluffers, Prabhupada said. If this honest scientist is there, he will say, I don't understand even one cell, how it functions. That one cell has got so many diverse functions, it's unbelievable what Krishna can pack up in one cell. They try to compare it to New York City. So one cell is as complex as New York City, but it's an understatement. Even New York City, maybe the mayor there or the CM there understands what's happening in New York. Kya aur everything is, you know, where is the plumbing going through and where is the, you know, how many cars are there and, you know, how many buildings and how much taxes generated per month. Whatever, he might understand. But one cell, you cannot understand. And the blood vessels. There are so many blood vessels in the body. The body is permitted with the blood vessels. So, the last layer which comes in contact with the blood is a simple cell which are like pavements. You know, like when you go on the road, you have these triangular stones put together. So, they make the road very smooth. So, you have a smooth cell called as endothelium cells. Very smooth because the blood has to flow very smoothly without any obstruction. So, even if you read our books, the medical books in 20 years back, they said just a simple cell. I mean, it's just a simple thing, you know, because the blood cannot, has to flow smoothly. So, the one single line is given where, you know, like it just flows through that and everything is remain, you know, there are no eddy currents produced in the blood flow. So, it moves smoothly. That was the only function of the endothelial cell, to prevent the blood from coming into the blood vessel, breaking into the wall. So, it's just a barrier cell. It's a barrier cell, preventing the blood from going inside or out of the, you know, vessel wall. So, just a pavement, concrete barrier. But now, believe me, there are unlimited books on this one cell. How much functions this one cell has got to perform, they are not able to understand. Practically now, they're relating all diseases like heart attacks and stroke and, you know, cancer, everything that it's attributing to malfunction of this one cell. Because it realizes it has such diverse functions. Unlimited. This I'm talking about just one aspect of what a medical scientist is trying to understand and do. Unbelievable. Even one disease they cannot understand actually. We may think, you know, yeah, we can treat some disease. But one disease they can't understand actually. It's not possible. Everything about the Lord's creation is unlimitedly complex and unlimitedly inconceivable. The human being is trying to do one thing. He is trying to make everything conceivable. That is his attempt. Make everything conceivable, understandable, tangible, rational. But he keeps on finding that there's just an unlimited complexity. As he goes further, it goes more and more complexities. So, the Lord is in this way, so unlimited. It's wonderful. How these people, you know, we have heard from the great souls tell us, scientists also tell us this, that every, this snowflake is different. Every thumbprint is different. Now, this is a small thing, is it not? It's a small area, surface area. How can somebody pack up unlimited variety in such a small area? Right? Every leaf, they say, is different. Everybody looks different. In Pangajankari Prabhu and Jananyas Prabhu, they look so similar, but still they are different for people who know them. Oh, yeah, yeah, this is, you know, people like us, we don't see them every day, we can mistake. But those who stay with them, they can know why. They actually, they are very different people. You know? They are this. They look, of course, they look complex, you know, their similarity is also very astounding. Krishna is so wonderful. You know, he can make two people so alike. And they say, you know, like, two bodies and one soul, practically. So much similarity. So, this is Krishna's nature. He is just unlimited. So, we can take different qualities of the Lord and try to sit down and think. How much unlimited the Lord actually is. Look, as Prabhupada says, that His creation, His pastimes, His names. So, we can get a finite understanding by saying, oh, Vishnu Sahasranam, again finite, thousand names of Vishnu. But the Mahaprabhu says, no. Namna Makarya Nija Bhuda Nija Sarva Shakti. So, unlimited names of the Lord, and each of these names is invited all His transcendental potency. So, how much Shakti has one name of the Lord got? So, one name is finite, again. So, we see the complexity, that in what appears to be finite also is filled with, every aspect of the Lord is like this, finite, and within that finite, infinite. Finite, within that infinite. So, one name is finite, Krishna, Rama, Narsingha, finite. But in that one name, unlimited potency, again infinite. One verse, Bhaktisthan Sri Thakur, you know, at Radha Kundi did this, beautiful pastime. Everyone came to hear Bhaktisthan Sri Thakur, great Acharya, Rasika Bhakta, Paramamsa, Vaishnav, at Radha Kund. So all the more, you know, the environment and everything is conducive for all those pastimes. But what did he do? Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. From that one verse, this great Acharya could actually deliver unlimitedly diverse meanings from this one first verse. And I'm told he spoke for some 1 month or something. 1 month, one verse. And I was told that he doesn't give small classes. There's one difference between Prabhupada and his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada used to speak 20 minutes, 25 minutes. He said, Jai Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, distribute prasadam. Have kirtan. But Sarasvati Thakur, I read somewhere, used to speak for hours. Long lectures, 3-4 hours minimum. So, 30 days, 4-4 hour lectures on one verse. What does it mean? That a pure devotee of the Lord can understand, decipher, and remove unlimitedly wonderful meanings from just a finite one verse. What appears like one verse. So, in every what appears as finite, there is also simultaneously. This is the simultaneous nature of being one and different. Simultaneously conceivable and inconceivable. This is so wonderful. This is actually our philosophy. Achintya bheda bheda tattva. Inconceivableness is in every aspect of the Lord's creation. It is one cell. But in that also, abheda, difference. So many differences, diverse functions. So, this enthuses the devotee so much when you understand Krishna is so wonderful. Therefore, the Lord can also, we are all looking in this world for happiness, looking for satisfaction. But the nature of matter is that it cannot give you satisfaction. Matter is made like that by the Lord. Matter cannot satisfy you. Because the spirit soul is unlimited in its desire to love, unlimited desire to serve, unlimited in his desire to actually understand the Lord's glory, and is trying to understand, and is trying to actually get his satisfaction, his love fulfilled through finite people. A finite, you know, a person cannot satisfy the unlimited desires of the soul to love. Therefore, we find so many divorces and breakage in friendships and relationships. Why? Because we are expecting unlimited love to emerge from the relationship, but it just gets, it lasts so short. Earlier, at least, no, they were saying marriages, like they were saying janam janam ka saath hai, you know, like that. You go to astrologer and he would say, okay, this couple is so wonderful that they will actually be together for 7 lifetimes. They should say that actually. That husband and wife would actually have such a bond which never like to break, they would not want to break it even in death. So the wife would die along with the husband and want to live along with the husband in the next life also, however he is. And I don't know what, I have not read anywhere, but it appears that they were born again and again, 7 times, whatever it is. But now 7 years is not 7 years. 7 months also is like too much, you know. People are breaking their marriages as if they are buying clothes. buying clothes, oh, I don't like this, change it, okay, like that. All disposable garments, disposable, everything is disposable, disposable husband, wife, right? Like that. So like, this is the whole thing. So the soul in his desire to find that unlimited love is only there in Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Parichita is saying, now that you are in front of us, my dear Lord, what do I do ask now? You are saying you ask, ask, ask. You know, like he asked Sridhar also. You ask something. Sridhar is standing in front of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya and said, Sridhar, my dear devotee, said, ask some benediction. Sridhar is saying, and he's like, what do I ask? You know, suddenly this question has come to me. You know, he just, Sridhar was there in his village, he was doing Nam Sankirtan and he was like very happy. And suddenly the Lord tells him and said, you ask something. So what do I ask? I have nothing to ask. Yeah, Prachita, same thing. He said, what do we ask? If the Lord is in front of you, what is there to ask? The person who is unlimited in, is lying in front of you, that means everything about him is with you right now, 2 feet away from you. What is there to ask now? The Lord still says, no, but said, my darshan never goes in vain. If somebody comes to me, he must take away something from me. You take something. The Lord has this quality to unlimitedly satisfy the soul. Just complete satisfaction. With not even an iota of a desire remaining. Prabhupada quotes here, Dhruva Maharaj. He had unlimited desire. Dhruva Maharaj also has wonderful personality. On the material platform, he had unlimitedly strong desire which practically nobody can even aspire for. Who in the world, everyone can think of, I want to become Bill Gates. But that is a stupid thing. In coming to Dhruva Maharaj's desire. Bill Gates, oh, he's got it, okay, $100 million, fine, $200 million, $1,000 million, okay. Dhruva Maharaj, what a prodigies of a personality. Who can think so big? Prabhupada said, shoot for the rhinoceros, you know. So Dhruva was like that, shooting for the rhinoceros. No, my father Swayambhu Manu, not even his kingdom. His father, Brahma, not grandfather, something greater than even Brahma has got. Okay, come on, that's what I want. So unlimited in his desire. He wanted something bigger than what Brahma has got. Nobody can think like that. A small child, 5 years. Brahma has got everything of this universe. He is the master, the proprietor of this universe on Krishna's behalf. Dhruva said, I want something bigger than my great-grandfather. Can you give it to me? With that desire, he marched to the jungle and did tapasya for 6 months. Unlimited determination was there to get his desire fulfilled. The Lord came. Navas, come on. He became tongue-tied. Is it right? All the desires, you couldn't speak anything. Varam na yache. Varam na yache. Sir, I cannot speak anything now. What is that verse? Varam na yache. Tartho. By your mercy you have come, now varam na yache. I don't have any other desires. So you ask, ask, ask. The Lord is so kind that he will not let you go like that. So okay, I will really fulfill your desire. He gave him the Dhruva Loka. Sridhar also, we can see the satisfaction element in the devotional service. Ultimately, a person can only be happy in this world if he has this one trait within his person that he is satisfied. Without this element of satisfaction, there is no happiness. In fact, they are in contemporary qualities. Happiness has to be preceded. Happiness is not a thing in itself. It has to be preceded by satisfaction. Satisfaction is the substratum on which happiness can grow. Like you have soil. A tree can grow on the soil, but tree cannot grow in the air, just like that. Just you have some substratum. So if you have a substratum of satisfaction, then on that, the tree of happiness can unlimitedly grow. So everyone looking first for satisfaction. But there is no satisfaction, there is no substratum there in the heart, there is no happiness growing at all. But the only misery is growing unlimitedly. So devotional service, which is like Krishna, the affluent of the Lord is, the Lord is unlimited, so devotional service is unlimited. And it can also give the devotee unlimited satisfaction. So with that feeling in his heart, he just feels so much contented. And therefore, that substratum of happiness leads to the growth of a tree called Bhakti Lata Beej. The Bhagavata beast can only grow in a satisfied heart properly. If you are unsatisfied with material desires, that tree cannot grow because it gets choked up with all these weeds coming up. But when you become satisfied in Krishna consciousness, that means the weeds cannot grow. Because you are satisfied in doing bhakti. You are not satisfied in, I should act a little bit of, I should be a famous devotee, I should be a recognized devotee, I should be this and that. You know, that's not sort of a problem. So, when those weeds are eliminated and you are satisfied only with doing dasanudas service, as the Guru has told you, then the tree can unhindered grow. And grow to unlimited degrees. It can penetrate. What is the power of the growth of this tree? There are so many tall trees in this world. Big trees are there. Jambudvip and all these, you know. Heavenly planet, there are so many big trees and, they have fruits which are 8 miles, whatever that. Big jambu fruits are there and everything. But this tree can actually grow unlimitedly tall and take shelter beyond material cosmos, 7 layers pierced. They are also very thick layers, pierced. Brahman transcended, beyond Brahman. Through all the Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, the tree keeps growing and growing and growing and going beyond Brahma Jyoti till it is Golok Vrindavan. And it bears fruits of love. Now that love is unlimited again. That love which a devotee has for the Lord is unlimited. Therefore we find a devotee is never satisfied for himself. Again, there is diversity here, achintya. For himself he is satisfied, but in service to the Lord he is completely dissatisfied. A devotee wants to make his temple unlimitedly beautiful. So you may think, oh, what is this, you know? When our slab is removed from here also now. What is this? You know, everything was fine. We scooped you, Nikala. But there was some problem there. So he wants, that person wants to make it unlimitedly beautiful. I was sitting and doing japa that day, yesterday in the evening, this side. And I just looked up and I found that at this border, you know, the intersection of these two walls, I thought this is the end of it. And now at the intersection also there is going to be a border which will come there. And they put some 10 types of borders there for to be chosen. So then we'll make, okay, every wall which you see in this beautiful stone structure will have a nice border to it. What does it really mean? It may be disturbing and all, that's true. A lot of tapasya goes along with that, I can understand. Health hazards are there. But on the other hand, it manifests this quality that there is unlimited desire to make Krishna's abode beautiful. That is the prima facie, you know, internal reason, that the Lord's temple should be looking so beautiful. In fact, it should become all attractive. Just like the Lord. And of course that makes, has its little problems when it is in the process. But then when it is ready, we will, the whole world will marvel. Oh, what a beautiful Adbhut Mandir. Make it so beautiful. Prabhupada wanted it so beautiful. Mayapur Dham. The whole world will come to see. Adbhut. Make it so unlimitedly attractive that you walk through the walkways and reach the altar, you are a devotee by that time. You don't require Bhagavad Gita courses or anything like that. It takes 4 days, you know, Gita course, you do basic course, 4 days, you become a devotee. But here, you just walk through the walkways, maybe take, you know, 40 minutes or something. And by the time you reach the altar, your heart is like receptive to Krishna's mercy. Krishna, you are beautiful, and you will start offering prayers and all, everything will happen. Adbhut Mandir. A new temple is trying to build, heaven on earth. Make Rasbihari temple so beautiful, gorgeous. The whole world should come and see Rasbihari. That is the purpose. Prabhupada wanted like that. So, the devotee has this quality of doing anything and everything to make the Lord happy. To make him more beautiful. To make him more satisfied. Whatever it takes. So Prabhupada was not satisfied, okay, he made, you would think Prabhupada, you know, he went to New York, he wanted to, you know, New York Center was started, fine, San Francisco, TK, London, okay, very nice. He should come back and, you know, just relax, okay, maintain everything properly. But no, he wanted to have more and more centers, more and more centers, more and more centers. How many centers? Every town and village he wanted a center. Unlimited centers for Krishna's preaching. So that is the pure devotee's wonderful extent of enthusiasm, that he wants to satisfy the Lord in so many wonderful ways. There is no limit. No limit to, because anything which comes in contact with the Lord gets that quality. If the Lord is Ananta and the pure devotee is attached to Him, Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, He is also holding to the Lord's lotus feet, He is in contact with Him. He also becomes having the same quality, like a magnet. You put a magnet, touch it, the magnet becomes magnetized, becomes like a magnet. It can attract other iron filings. It can, so you can have unlimited chain of magnets sitting together, attracting all the iron filings of this world. Similarly, a pure devotee in contact with Krishna becomes like Him. If you got an electric wire, then you get electrified. The current flows through you also. So if you are a bad conductor, then it doesn't flow through you. But a pure devotee is a good conductor. In fact, he is the best conductor of that mercy. So when he touches the Lord, he gets infused by the same current as much as the Lord is having. So Lord is unlimited compassion, pure devotee also unlimited compassion. Mahaprabhu deliberately delivered only two Jagai Madais. I mean, one pair Jagai Madai. One pair of sinful. Again here, unlimitedly sinful. See, unlimited. What is the extent of the sins they performed? Unbelievable. And they have took an account. Yamaraj. How much they have performed? Tell me. No? Tell me the extent. Unlimited. But that unlimited sins, in a finite amount of moment, in 1 second, nullified. Finished. But Prabhupada was empowered by the same Gaur Nithai to deliver not one pair of Jagai Madai, unlimited pairs of Jagai Madai all over the world. That is the power of Krishna. That's what he does. This is so fantastic. We can only, I was thinking of Gopinath, Adha Gopinath, said every day he has been here for the last 16 years at least, in his manifest form. Manifest form, we don't know how many years. But every day he has been dressed by pujaris, is it not? So many years. But never was two dressing same. Is there ever a time when we could think, all of you are resident of the temple for so many years now, did you ever think, talka jaisa hi banaya? No. I mean, we have some finite number of jewelry. We are not infinite jewelry, you know. Okay, maybe you have 10 necklaces or whatever, 50 necklaces, I don't know how many are there. Of course, they are also increasing. I see, you know, more and more beads are brought and it's increasing. More dioramas, expanding. But there are finite number of pujaris and there are finite number of dressing material available to them. And in the tray, it comes into the finite, maybe two chokers, three, whatever, different. Right? But from that finite number of material you have, every day the Lord is making made to look very different. Nitya Krishna Prabhu, Nitya Krishna Bhagavan. He's always looking, you know, eternally beautiful. Different beads, different chokers, different armlets, different dresses. It looks always different. Therefore, we come and see him every day. Always damn boring to see, you know, always same, Kalka jaisa hi bana. It is not like that. So that is the whole funda of devotional service. Making everything appear very variegatedly beautiful. The jula, for example, that day. My goodness, what a jula that was. What astounding jula. Unlimited dedication. So much enthusiasm. Unlimited number of hours were put behind in planning, designing, and then hard work and labor, thinking, getting the best flowers from so many different places to make a nice jula for Radha Gopijana Vallabh. That is a whole, that means everything becomes expanding. That makes Krishna consciousness dynamic, beautiful, enthusing. Otherwise, given if Krishna were not like this, you'll find the whole thing very mechanical. You feel get damn bored. Krishna consciousness, however it is damn boring, you know. So Prabhupada is saying this, that such an understanding of the unlimited becomes actually becomes unlimited by the process of hearing Krishna's glories. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of Krishna become more and more manifest. Even dull people like us, who are steeped into matter, steeped into material desires, even dull people like us, like myself, can become enthused to some degree. And we also feel that yes, even though Kali Yuga, again here, unlimited faults. See, the Lord also, when he makes Kali Yuga, what quality gives Kali Yuga? Unlimited faults. Kaler dosa nidhe rajan. Okay, come on. Not one fault, two fault, five fault, 100 fault, 1000 faults. Unlimited faults. That means all doors are sealed. If the Lord had kept one, or if He had kept two Mahagunas, then there would be a problem. That means you had some hope materially. Yeah, at least in this field of material activity, there is some hope for me to enjoy. No hope, educationally, spiritually, you know, financially, health-wise, pollution, air, politics, everything finished. Social life, everything. Nonsense, gone, finished. In every field of activity, the Jivatma is completely blocked. Anything that has to do, he gets something on his face. It's blocked there. Oh, there's a fault here. And he's okay, maybe this one, maybe I should do this. And then it gets smashed there also. The Lord designed it deliberately like that. So that only one sun can shine in this darkness. Therefore, being ultimately frustrated with everything, he will find unlimited hope. Even though it's unlimitedly frustrated in material existence, he will find unlimited hope in Gaurang Mahaprabhu, who has come with unlimited mercy and come with unlimited love to distribute. Flood. When you say flood, it means not limited water. Flood of love of God. It's not just a small stream of love of God flowing from Goloka Vrindavan like that. You know, Ganga also is flowing. It's a limited stream, nonsense. You can see it. Flood of love of God. You know, flooding the entire universe. Flood. Flood means everything is just inundated. Unlimited waters everywhere. That is Mahaprabhu's movement. Inundate everything. Unlimited love. Give it. Bato. Now we have a limited capacity to take that love. But you know, you feel, still take more. And now there are so many programs in Bombay. Kitna program hai jane ka abhi? It's a problem, actually. Like today is this program at Thane, for example. Our Gopinath Prabhu is going to Thane, you know, to grace one devotee's house. So dramatically, some devotees say, Prabhu, amar garbe bhajan karyakram hai. Somebody say, nah, this. There are so many programs on one day itself. So the point is, when you're connected to a bona fide sampradaya with a beautiful, nice leadership, an excellent manager, managed, nice, you know, congregation of Vaishnavas, there is unlimited opportunity to purify yourself. Because there is unlimited mercy available. But we, as they say, our cup is full. We are not able to even assimilate sufficient mercy. Not able to get enough mercy. We are not able to assimilate. Our power to assimilate, like you eat food. You eat food. You made the best of food, but you know, you had limited capacity to assimilate that food. So because we are diseased spiritually, jaundiced, you know, unlimitedly mercy is available, our capacity to assimilate mercy has become so limited. So we can only pray to Prabhupada that He has given us unlimited grace, anugraha, favor. Gopinath is our unlimitedly beautiful Lord. And unlimitedly beautiful books to read and infinitely wonderful devotees to stay with. So let this process of Krishna consciousness infinitely keep increasing. Let our attraction for the Lord keep on increasing. Let our desire to serve keep on increasing. This way you can be completely satisfied and happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, I hope there are no unlimited questions for me. So, like to end over here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.